Hi again, everyone. Bob Berg with another great friend of mine talking about some terrific information. You know, there's an old saying, and that is you can't teach a pig to sing. You'll only frustrate yourself and really annoy the pig. But our guest today is going to say something different. She's going to go contrary to that. Now, Mary Jane Mapes is the founder and president of the Aligned Leader Institute, LLC, a leadership development organization. She's an award-winning communication and leadership consultant with a track record of successes, having worked for a number of hospitals and Fortune 500 companies, including Avon, Eaton Corporation, Pfizer, General Electric, Laird Corporation, Trinity Health Systems, and Ascension Health. In addition to being a sought-after keynote speaker and executive coach, she's an author of the book, The Art of Fielding Questions with Finesse, in her brand new book, the one I have in my hands, and it is absolutely terrific. It's called You Can Teach a Pig to Sing. Create great relationships with anyone, anytime, anywhere. And Mary Jane Mapes, welcome.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be with you today, Bob.
You know, a couple of years ago, you wrote an article based on this topic for the Speaker Magazine, which goes to members of the National Speakers Association. And I was so taken by this article, I had to let you know. And it really was fantastic. So I was very excited when I knew a book was going to be coming out on this basic topic. And so I want to kind of get right into that. You refer to people with whom we struggle as pigs, P-I-G-S. What exactly is a pig?
Well, a pig is quite simply an acronym, and it could be an acronym for a particularly irritating guy or gal, but it could just as easily be a painfully intolerable gas bag, or a pompous inane glory hound, or, you know, a person inclined to gripe. It could just be that person that makes your life just a bit less than wonderful. For me, it happened to be a guy named Milton. And that's the story you actually read.
Right.
A few years back about Milton. That was just a guy that, I mean, we just didn't do anything the same. We didn't approach life the same. We didn't solve problems the same. We just didn't do anything alike. And he didn't appreciate me, and quite frankly, I didn't appreciate him. So,
you two were oil and water. So that was a great almost experiment to go through, seeing and following in the book how you would relate to him and how you would handle it. So I'm going to ask you this question: did your experiences with these pigs, if you will, and it's so hard to say this, by the way. You know what I'm saying? Referring to people as pigs while we're doing this interview, but I'm gonna try to do that anyway.
It's why I try to say that painfully irritating.
Right, exactly. Well, it's kind of the acronym, right? So your experiences in dealing with these types of people, Mary Jane, is that really why you wrote the book?
Yes and no. Part of it was, it was a theme that I could use to weave throughout the book. But I've been teaching this stuff for over 20 years, and I've never written a book on the topic. And I thought, you know, what are some of the favorite things that I have that I feel a passion for, that when I speak, I love speaking about them? How can I take this and put it in a book? And it was interesting, because when I wrote that article for the Speaker Magazine all those years ago, you sent me a note, and you said, this is really one of the best examples that I've read of somebody really turning a relationship around. And I meet so many people that come up after I speak, and they'll tell me about their boss, or they'll tell me about, you know, their spouse, or they'll tell me about somebody that they work with. And I thought, you know, it really is almost always, if people have a good relationship, they're not really all that interested in learning how to better communicate.
Right.
It's usually when they don't have the relationship they want. So it's always about turning something around. So I just pulled that story, Milton, used that to weave it through to talk about how do you create those relationships you want.
Okay, and it was a beautiful story of turning things around. You know, the sages said, who is a mighty person? And the answer was, that person who can control their own emotions and make of an enemy a friend. And that's really exactly what you did with Milton.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I also grew up, I don't know that you know this, Bob, but I grew up with seven brothers and a sister, and we lived in a house of about 1,150 square feet. We had one bathroom. And in our house, I mean, with that kind of close proximity, nobody listened, you know, nobody really admitted mistakes, nobody really seemed to be interested in hearing what somebody else had to say. So it seemed like one or the other of us were upset with one or the other of us most of the time. So that was kind of the other reason that sort of spawned from my childhood, because my family was kind of a training ground for learning how to work with difficult people.
I thought you brought that up beautifully in the book, and really what it comes down to, in a sense, is that people have different ways of doing things, different, whether it's different belief systems or whether, you know, it's just a different wiring that they do things in different ways, like you and Milton, or you and your family. And you gave great examples in the book as to how, you know, this worked within families and people you are very close to, but where there can be struggles. And I definitely want to get to that. I do want to tell everybody that the website to check out Mary Jane Mapes for general information is www.maryjanemapes, and that's M-A-P-E-S, maryjanemapes.com. If you're listening to this while you're in front of your screen, of course, you can just click on the graphic right there. And her book, and it really is just absolutely such an excellent book, You Can Teach a Pig to Sing. You can get that on Amazon.com, and you can just click on the graphic that's right in front of you on the computer, or if you're not, when you get a chance to go to Amazon.com later, just do a search for You Can Teach a Pig to Sing. So let me ask you, for your viewpoint on this, what makes difficult people so dang difficult in the first place?
Well, I think the biggest thing that makes people difficult, Bob, is a lack of clarity. They just don't recognize the truth about the source of their own pain, and usually it's a pain that they themselves have allowed other people to create. For example, may I give you an example?
Mm-hmm.
Don was one of my coaching clients, and oh my goodness, he and his boss did not get along. In fact, that's why he was sent to me. He was sent to me by his boss. But in truth, he just felt it was the boss's problem. He didn't appreciate her. Unfortunately, because he didn't appreciate her, he didn't listen to her. He never, took any interest in listening to her point of view. He ignored her request. He discounted any kind of remarks that she made to him. He just thought she was one big pain in the patootie.
And he communicated that, right?
Yes, he absolutely did. So therefore, because he didn't do any of those things that were important to her, she made his life more miserable. But what he didn't see is that he was the one that was helping to create that. Well, once he stopped resisting her, he started listening, he started demonstrating that he really cared about her perspective and demonstrated it. Well, it's amazing how much more open she became and how much better she looked to him.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a human being.
That's so true. You know, we start looking at somebody in a different way, and it's amazing how they take on those characteristics, not because of any, you know, frou-frou kind of, you know, thing, but really because we're giving them something to live up to.
Exactly.
And we change ourselves. You know, when we look at someone as being, as you're coaching Don, to not look at her as being the enemy, but to look at her as being a nice, well-meaning person, he's seeing her that way, so how is he going to act to a nice person? He's going to be a lot nicer.
Exactly. And I think, if you want to look at who it is that needs to make the change, then all you need to do is to go and stand in front of the mirror and say, oh my gosh,
right,
maybe that's the person.
Absolutely. Yeah, and let me ask you this question. Do people ever say to you, yeah, but Mary Jane, why should it be me who does that? They should do that.
Well, the problem is, obviously, you can't change other people.
Exactly.
You can only change yourself. So if you want to make the change, the operative word is always choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think choice really is the most powerful tool that we have on our way to recognizing the truth. I have a friend who had a 17-year-old daughter, and oh my gosh, her daughter was acting out, giving her mom fits. So I said to my friend, I said, Sue, why don't you try spelling out exactly what kind of relationship you want with your daughter? Spell it out. Put it on paper. And then no matter what she says, no matter what she does, focus on the outcome you want. In other words, focus on the picture, the vision that you have of your relationship with your daughter. Well, she did that. And when she did that, instead of what I always say is reacting to fix the problem, which was what she was always trying to do, is to fix her daughter. She started responding in a way that would get her the relationship that she actually wanted with her daughter. And it was just amazing. It didn't take very long. She began to see things really turn around. It's kind of like, I would say relationships are like that. You know, we've heard of this before, but they're like a dance. You change the steps, you change the relationship. Well, you create a vision for the relationship you want, you write it out, you focus on it, then when that problem arises, rather than react to fix the problem, you act to bring about the relationship. And she did exactly that, and her relationship with her daughter really pretty much changed overnight. But, I mean, you can do that with anybody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. Would you say most of us have instead of saying pig, I'll say painfully irritating guy or gal in our life? And could we be somebody else's painfully irritating guy or gal?
Well, of course. you know, life isn't an accident. I just think that if you look at me, for who you think I am and not for who I am, and I think oftentimes we all do that. If you look at me for who you think I am and not for who I am, then I never really get to show up. And you're never going to get to experience the gift that I can bring to the table. And, of course, if we don't have that kind of awareness, then you just might be inviting me to become a pig. So I can be that person for you, too. I mean, did you ever know kids that whose parents said, "I want you to tell me the truth," and they told them the truth and they got whomped? Well, you know, I think it's true of politicians. They tell the truth. People don't like it. They don't get reelected. So I think we have to start letting people be who they are so that they can feel safe with us. And then they don't have to become a pig, nor do we.
No, and that makes a lot of sense. More questions to come. First, again, Mary Jane Mapes. She's author of a great book, and what she says is you can teach a pig to sing. And by the way, she does a great job of it in her book. It's really one of my favorites, a terrific, terrific book. Her website is www.maryjanemapes.com. And if you're in front of a computer while you're watching this, you can just click on that icon. And her book, you can pick up, it's just coming out, and you can pick that up on Amazon.com. If you're in front of your computer, just click the book icon. It will take you right there. If you're not at your computer, well, don't do that, but when you get home or in front of one, you can go to Amazon.com and just do a search either for Mary Jane Mapes or the book, You Can Teach a Pig to Sing. I want to ask you about the Cape of Acceptance, because what you just said sort of reminded me of that, and I'm wondering if that leads into the Cape of Acceptance you talk about. How does that work?
Well, either that, I mean, they both do. The Cape of Acceptance to me is mental armor. You put it on. And I did this years ago when I was working for a sales organization down in Indianapolis, and I would go in, and they had a lot of D types. You know what I'm talking about, driver-dominant types that were very challenging. And sometimes I would get whole groups of people like that. They were out selling $500,000 pieces of equipment, and, you know, and then they'd be taken out of the field and brought in, and woo, they didn't take it out on the VP of Corporate University. If they were going to take it out on anyone, they would want to take it out on me. So I learned really early on that, boy, I had to come in prepared. And preparation for me was putting on this invisible cape of acceptance. That's what I call it. This is long before I ever heard of Harry Potter's invisible cloak. This was a cape of acceptance. And as long as I had it on, now it was a mental choice, I had to be intentional about it, then I could be present to you. And when I was present to you, then you could say whatever you wanted to say to me. I mean, you could challenge me, you could tell me how this whole thing sucked, you could tell me whatever you wanted to tell me. And it would be okay, because I would always know that as long as you were talking, you were telling me about yourself, even if you were speaking about me. So as long as you were telling me about yourself, then I was learning about you. But the beauty of this cape is that as long as I had it on, I didn't get defensive. When I didn't get defensive, my mind was open, my heart was open, and as long as my mind was open, I had access to what some people might call creativity, some people might call it intuition, some people call it, you know, universal wisdom. I call it divine intervention. But I just say I have access to it. Therefore, when something comes up, I get challenged, and if I get defensive, my mind shuts down. I can't even think of what I want to say. So you can imagine getting before a prospect or a client or somebody, can't even think about what you want to say. But with the cape on, no matter how miserable or tough or aggressive or challenging they are, your mind is open. You have access. And it's amazing how those, you know, those, I want to call whatever, pieces of insight just sort of drop in and make it possible for us to respond to whatever it is that comes up. So it's just, it was so powerful. I have lots of experiences, but most of them would take way too long to tell you.
Well, and you shared some of them in the book, and I
do.
Yeah, and I there are a couple I'm thinking of that were just really, powerful is all I can say. I mean, they were just great stories, and it was such a great feeling when they when it resolved.
Well, you know, I do have this was a little bit different, Bob. I can share this experience if you would like me to share.
Sure,
an
please.
Example. This was a little different. It was a little different, but in some ways it's very much the same. I had a group, and actually this was the same organization that I'm thinking of. I challenged them one day. I said, look, when you go out, I don't care who you meet, but when you go out, I want you to see them. I challenge you to see everyone you meet, prospect, client, whomever, through this prism of exception. Like, put the word exception like as a windshield, like it's your windshield. So every time you look through this windshield, the only thing you're seeing is you're seeing this person as exceptional. Well, I had this woman. I said, okay, I want you to do it tonight. I want you to see at least one person as exceptional. And it's somewhat the same. It's different than the Cape of Acceptance, but it's somewhat the same in that you're making a choice to see people in a certain way. So I said, come back tomorrow and tell me what happened. Well, I wasn't all that convinced that too many of them were going to take the challenge. But the next day, one of them came back, and she said, I've got to tell everybody here what happened to me. She said, you know, we're staying at X Hotel over here. And she said, I am at the elevator. Now, our hotel, she said, is having a large conference. It's an ethnic women's conference, and they're anywhere from, you know, girls 15, 16 years old to women in their probably late 70s, 80s. And she said, I'm standing at the elevator. I just got back from class. I'm standing at the elevator waiting to get on in this large group of boisterous girls, teenage girls, came up, and she said they had absolutely no elevator etiquette, and they squeezed on, and they pushed ahead of me. There was barely room for me to get onto the elevator. And she said, as I'm on that elevator, crammed in with all those girls, I became aware of just how terribly annoyed I was. And I made the decision to shift my thinking. And I decided that I would see these girls, as you suggested, as exceptional. So she said, I changed my thinking. That was it. And she said, if the shift in energy in that elevator had not been so swift, if their response to me in that elevator had not been so swift, I would never have believed it. By the time I got off on the 12th floor, you would have thought that we were long-lost friends. She said, I will never see another prospect, another client, another customer. I will never again see them as anything less than exceptional.
That is a powerful point you just made. Oh, my goodness. It is all up to us how we're going to frame a situation.
Yeah.
The way we're going to see it. This has been such a great interview because this has been such terrific information. I think everyone has people, we all have people issues. So I think this is of interest to everyone. But that story, to me, anyone can take that story and totally change the way they relate to others and how they feel about others by just understanding that they can make a decision to see something in the way they choose to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wow.
Well, when you can consider that people are reading our minds. I mean, people are reading our minds.
Mm-hmm.
I read that people are reading our minds at 7,200 images a minute. So if people are reading our minds at 7,200 images a minute, it's pretty amazing how much they're picking up on. And, you know, you can sit there and think, oh my gosh, I think this guy's a jerk. Well, you think he's a jerk, he's going to know you're thinking he's a jerk. So we have a tremendous power in that I think we just don't realize.
Yeah. Well, I am going to, first of all, I have one question left for you, and I'm going to ask you for one piece of advice. But
First,
I want to just once again say that you can find Mary Jane, info on Mary Jane by going to www.maryjanemapes.com. And for those who aren't in front of the computer, her last name is spelled M-A-P-E-S, maryjanemapes.com. You can find her book, and it's such a wonderful book. You Can Teach a Pig to Sing. You can find that on Amazon.com. One piece of advice for creating healthy relationships, general question, far-reaching, but what advice would you give?
Well, I think the advice, and I give this to most people, and I try to take advantage of it myself, and that is if you accept the status quo, then things just stay the same. But if you accept responsibility for the relationship, then you get to change the relationship and have the relationship you want. So I would say ask yourself, who do I need to be today to have the relationships that I want tomorrow?
Excellent. Mary Jane Mapes, thank you so very much for joining us, and best of success with your new book. May it sell millions and millions and touch the lives of many more.
Thank you.
Well, everyone, this is Bob Berg, and until next time, make it a great day.